CJ Wise beams as she bounces her five-week-old baby in the living room of her Carroll Gardens apartment.
Finn, you want to say hi? You want to say hello?
From the time Wise found out she was pregnant with Finn, she'd been seeing an obstetrician who was affiliated with NYU. She was excited to deliver at the hospital, considered one of the best places for moms and babies in the city. But when Sandy hit, everything changed.
I was very, very upset. I was probably more upset by that than the prospect of having a C-section because he was a very large baby. Because you just don't want any uncertainty. There's enough uncertainty that you don't want to have to think about where it's going to happen.
With NYU closed, Wise's doctor was given temporary privileges to deliver at Beth Israel. And to her great surprise, Wise loved it. The nurses and staff went out of their way to accommodate her, and she says the delivery was perfect. Next time around, she says she'd like everything to be exactly the same.
I think that if it was up to me, I'd probably go back to Beth Israel, but I think a lot of times it's up to the doctor.
The question still looms of whether NYU will lose some of the patients and even doctors who sought refuge at NYU's biggest competitors during the 2 months the hospital was closed. Dr. Andrew Brotman is NYU's Senior Vice President for Clinical Affairs and Strategy. His response to concerns that other hospitals tried to recruit NYU doctors who were working there temporarily?
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. I'm shocked and appalled. I'm being sarcastic. It is a very competitive environment. People try to recruit from each other, having nothing to do with a storm. It happens all the time.
He says NYU is extremely appreciative for the warm welcome they got at other hospitals. But in some ways, NYU's loss was their competitors' gain. Hospitals like Mount Sinai, Lenox Hill, and Beth Israel saw spikes in their monthly birth rates during November and December, when NYU was closed. And Brotman adds that other hospitals also benefited financially from the NYU doctors who worked there. That's because while the doctors were still able to bill insurers directly for their services,
doctors' bills make up about 10-12% of the fee. The rest of it went to those other hospitals. So while those other hospitals were grateful to for trying to accommodate us, they were also compensated for that.
More than a dozen NYU doctors have applied for permanent privileges at Mount Sinai and Beth Israel, according to those hospitals. It's not clear how many of them would also keep their privileges at NYU. Brotman says he's not concerned. Beth Israel's president, Dr. Harris Nagler, says his hospital did not make any efforts to poach NYU doctors. But he acknowledges that Beth Israel also benefited from new doctors and patients being exposed to the hospital.
My prediction is that we will have a higher occupancy rate going forward. I think some patients and physicians will see the opportunity here and have enjoyed their experience and may seek new relationships.
Accommodating the influx of patients, especially in the emergency department, has been a real challenge, but they managed. David Sandman was part of the Berger Commission, which was charged with right-sizing New York's healthcare system 6 years ago. He's now with the New York State Health Foundation. Sandman says the important question isn't whether hospitals return to pre-Sandy conditions, but should they?
It was more than a wake-up call to remind us that New York City does have a lot of excess inpatient hospital capacity. And, you know, when two very large institutions, Bellevue with about 900 beds and NYU, which also has close to 900 beds, were suddenly taken out of service, we did have some backlogs and wait times at other places, but the system was able to absorb most of that capacity.
He hopes Sandy will lead to a renewed discussion about opportunities to downsize, but NYU's Brotman disagrees.
There wasn't a huge surge capacity in the rest of the city to accommodate this. In OBGYN, for example, it was really difficult to find places to deliver a baby in New York City. And so I think the other thing is we have a renewed feeling that we're actually needed and needed badly.
Between damages and lost revenue, Brotman estimates that Sandy cost NYU $1.2 billion. Funding from FEMA, the National Institutes of Health, and NYU's insurance policies should help them recover that in the next 2 to 5 years. Most of NYU's units are already back up and running. The hospital census has rebounded to at least two-thirds what it was before the storm. Nurse practitioner Donna Quinn took me through the labor and delivery unit a few days after it reopened.
This is the nurse's station where this is always a very busy, busy area. A lot of things are going on here. There's physicians here. There's nursing here. The phone is always ringing.
Doctors and nurses bustle through the halls, wearing pins in the shape of the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz. Quinn says she enjoyed her month and a half at Lenox Hill, but she always felt like a guest.
It makes you appreciate where you were, what your home is.
NYU executives are crossing their fingers that, as corny as it sounds, the rest of their staff and patients will agree. There's no place like home. For WNYC, I'm Jenny Gold.